Well, good morning to everyone. Our crowd is certainly down from the first one. We had 56 in attendance this morning, which really was a good number. But we appreciate all those that are here with us now. And as Jacob said, we're two or more gathered in His name. He's in their presence. So we're fulfilling our responsibility. We're fulfilling that which Chris mentioned in his prayer, that we can gain strength from each other, and we do gain strength from each other. We need each other. Whether we want to admit it or not, we're very reliant on each other. We need that connection, both from a physical standpoint, and we can kind of bear each other's burdens and help each other. And we also need it from a spiritual standpoint. It's good to see Sister Charlene back with us this morning. We certainly have missed her. She's always a big encouragement to all that are here. And I know she stays busy with her basket making and all the things that she finds to do to keep her hands busy and her mind busy. And we appreciate so much all the good works that she does. I'd like to say also that the invitation for any ideals that you might have to help to sow the seed, as Chris pointed out again in his prayer, he made so many good points, and I was keeping up pretty good for a while, and I thought I can't remember all those and bring them out. But we have the responsibility, no matter what's going on with the COVID, to keep trying to spread the gospel. We have the financial means. We're blessed. We've had so many people make contributions to our congregation. We have the financial means to do that, and we need to be busy thinking of ways that we might sow the seed. Chris came up the other day and helped me to get a little bit more informed on our website, and I'm going to start putting some stuff on that. I'll start out probably just for members only so that you all can help me to get edited to where I can do a job that would be presentable to everybody. You know, it's one thing if you don't know how to talk in front of your family, but it's something else when you talk in front of the world. So I want all the help I can get. I need that. I appreciate that to help me to edit those and make those where they'd be beneficial. And we're gonna start doing some more things like that. We've got a lot of stuff gathered already back there that people have donated for these little packets. You can call them whatever you will, but I call it sowing the seed. We'll just call them seed packets that you might leave. There's a couple more people brought some things to my attention this morning, and I'll run that by the brethren. Hopefully we can get some things going. But even in these adverse times, that will help get the gospel seed out there and maybe cause someone to realize their lost condition and want to become a child of God before it might be everlasting too late. We've talked about for the last few weeks a lot in our Bible study on Wednesday night, which I appreciate Andy done such a fine job there on Wednesday night. I got so much out of that I hadn't gleaned out of it before in my studies, and I appreciate his work that he put into that and all the others that are teaching that class on Wednesday night. And that class is revolving a lot about the ideal of being led by the Spirit. We've talked about that a lot. Don't want to burn you out on that, but I fear sometimes that we miss that point and the importance of being led by the Spirit as God's people, and that Spirit has to be the Spirit of God, as we're going to talk about a little bit this morning. Realizing too, as I said last week, I'm going to point out there are that people can be led by. Now that can be your own selfish motivations, your own selfish desires, or it can be and that might be demonic in itself, but it can be from Satan that these spirits. Satan's got spirits that leads people as well. If you don't believe that, watch the 6 o'clock news when you see people that are getting killed for no good reason, and you see all the stealing and the corruption and all those things. Those things are not derived from the righteousness of God. They're derived from the wickedness of evil, and that comes from Satan. And we need to be reminded of that sometimes, that being led by the Spirit, we need to make sure that it's the Spirit of God that we're following, not the spirit of the preacher, or not the spirit of our grandparents or our parents, but that we're being led by the Spirit of God. And I thought of something that will help me. I hope it helps you. Whenever we think about being Spirit-filled, you know, we all have vehicles, and we all get in our vehicles, and we drive places. And something we have to be conscientious of is our gas tank, our fuel supply, don't we? We've got vehicles now. We live in the land of plenty, and we've got vehicles now that if you get down so low on gas, it'll say 25 miles till empty. Used to, people didn't have that, and they had a tendency to run out of gas more often. I have an old truck that I use around there at the farm some, and the gas hand don't work on it, so I have to take a stick and check it. But I stay pretty well in tune on that. You know why? Because I've run out in it several times. And we have a tendency as human beings to want our gas tanks to be full when it comes to that physical fuel that we run on. And we have a tendency to listen to those alarms or that little flashing light that comes on and says, you're going to run out of gas, you're going to run out of gas, because we don't want to run out of gas and be walking on the side of the road. Now, some people have the mentality of thinking that it's cheaper if you keep your car on empty all the time than it is if you keep it on full. Brenda being one of them. I have to pick on Brenda a little bit. She has a tendency to think that it's cheaper to run it on empty than it is to run it on full. And of course, I figured out after so long, I'm a little slow, but I figured out that she knows that I like for them to be full. And if I jump in her vehicle and it's on empty, the first place I'm going is to the station to fill it up. And that saves her about $40. So she's always way ahead of me, but that's why she thinks that way about keeping the car on empty instead of on full. I remember Christy, when she first got married, there was a few times that she ran out of gas, and she would call me. One time, I remember she was over at Crab Orchard there about the end of 39 where it goes into Crab Orchard, and she said, I'm out of gas. And I said, Christy, are you trying to wean your car from gas? Because she'd done this a few times. And it might have been because her funds was stretched pretty thin at that time. I don't know. But we understand the importance, and we stay in tune with how much gas we have in the car. I don't like an empty tank because if something happened in the middle of the night, somebody called you and you needed to be somewhere and there's nothing open much where you can get gas, then what are you going to do? And I always like to just think along those. If we would admit it, we feel really good when we get the old tank full and we look at it and it says full, and we look at our odometer and it says it's about 600 miles till you'll run out of gas. You think, boy, I got a lot of running to do before I have to bang more gas. I'm just saying all these things to get our minds going in that direction of what I'm going to talk about as it pertains to the Spirit. Hopefully, as you go throughout the days that lie ahead and you look at your empty or full there on your tank, hopefully this lesson will come back to your mind as about being spiritually filled or being filled with the Spirit of God, because we need to put emphasis on that as well, and we need to be reminded sometimes that maybe our spiritual tank is running a little bit empty. We need to be reminded of that. We know that coming to church, coming to church on Sunday and worshiping God and hearing the Word taught and hearing the preaching of the Word, we know that that helps to fill our spiritual tank. And we might be very spiritually full this afternoon. I hope that you are, not because of me, but because you assembled and worshiped God and sung songs to His praise and to His glory, and also looked at a portion of His Word. But tomorrow now, you know, we'll be going along and we'll be running a little bit of that spirituality out maybe, and maybe as the week goes on, maybe we might be a little bit less spiritually full because it's been a while since we've had a fill-up. Been a while since we've been to get the fill-up, unless we're digging into the Word, and that's what we all need to be reminded of. We have that responsibility, and it helps us to be spiritual all the time instead of just on Sunday. And Wednesday, you know, we come out on Wednesday night, and that gives us a little bit of a boost as far as our spiritual tank, if you want to think of it that way. And then Thursday, then we may not get no spiritual gas Thursday. And Friday, we may not get no spiritual gas. We may not get no spiritual fuel, no spiritual feeding to keep us going. And then Saturday, we might be way back down towards empty again as far as it comes to our spirituality. So we need to realize and be reminded of the importance. And again, I think when we think about physical things, because none of us like walking on the side of the road, we're pretty in tune to making sure that we've got fuel in her tank. And I just challenge you this morning as we go throughout this upcoming year to ask yourself, how am I spiritually? Am I spiritually filled? Have I got a lot of God's Spirit working in me and causing me to do the things that I do? Over in Psalms 143 and verse 10, it says, "Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your gracious spirit lead me on level ground." And again, that's the spirit that we need to be filled with, is the Spirit of God. We're going to talk about this morning, and it was kind of touched on earlier in the prayer, that my spirituality is not based upon what I can do or what I can accomplish myself, because I'm very weak. I'm in the flesh. I'm very apt to fail when it comes to that. But if I draw strength from the Spirit of God, and I look into His Word where His Spirit is revealed unto us, and I draw strength and I put my confidence and my faith and my trust in God instead of in what Robbie can do or what Robbie can't do, then I'll be spiritually filled. I'll be spiritually stronger. And I just think that we need to be, as Christians, we need to try to be spiritually filled. And that means being led by the Spirit. And whenever we see, just as I used the illustration, whenever we see spiritually that we're running on empty, we might need to say, "Lord, help fill me up. I'm on empty." We all go through valleys. We all have times in our lives when we're probably not as spiritually strong as we would like to be or as we have been in other times. But we need to work towards being always spiritually strong. And I touched on last week the idea that no matter what's going on around us in the world, how bad things get, the corona, the sicknesses that people are dealing with, the heart disease, the cancers, all the things that's going on, we don't need to let that shake us or move us too bad from being spiritually filled. We need to draw closer to God each and every day that He gives us upon this earth. And for the longest time in my early Christian life, because I wasn't raised up in the church, my parents didn't go to church, I really had no influence of biblical teaching, but a very small amount before that I met Brenda and years into our life that I become a member of the church. And I really didn't understand until maybe 10 years ago that Christianity is about spirituality. It's not about physical things. It's not about carnal things. It's not about what I can do or what somebody else can do, but it's about spirituality. And one of the first sermons I preached when I came to Providence was the difference between Christianity and religion. And sometimes people are awful hung up on religion that don't know anything about Christianity. And we need to get that established in our mind. If we're a spiritually minded person, if we're feeding upon the spiritual food which is revealed to us in God's Word, if we're being spiritually filled, we'll understand the difference between Christianity and trying to be someone who is referred to as being religious. There's a vast difference in that. And we hear that term a lot. We say, "Well, he's a real religious fellow." Well, is he a Christian? Is he filled with the Spirit? Does he understand growing in the knowledge and the Spirit of the Lord? And you know, it's not uncommon for somebody to sit on a church seat for years and never grow one iota spiritually. And I've even been guilty of that myself. Yeah, I would show up. I would go through the emotions of saying, "Yeah, I showed up and fulfilled my responsibility to the group, to the congregation," but I wasn't changing one iota spiritually. Now, I did get spiritually fed while I was there, but I wasn't understanding that I needed to build upon that, and that needed to be a continuous building so that we could be completed as God would have us to be completed spiritually. So again, I think as you go forward, when we see signs like Somerset has a gas station down there that it says a car wash with a fill-up, a free car wash with a fill-up. Or maybe you go by KFC and it says $20 fill-up. You can even use that. Maybe you'll think of this lesson and think, "Well, how am I doing as far as my spiritual fullness? Am I being filled with the Spirit?" And hopefully that'll just be a little something that'll make it click in your mind and make you think about spiritual things. We have used and we've studied in the book of Galatians a lot about the importance of understanding spirituality versus things that are of this world. And I'm going to use that again because some of my favorite scriptures to help me understand that there's a vast difference between the things that pertain to this fleshly body and the things that make me spiritual. In verse 16 it says, of Galatians 5, it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." You mean if I'm being guided by the Spirit, it's going to help me to overcome those lusts of the flesh and those lustful desires that I might have, was I not walking in the Spirit? And it says, "For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." But notice in verse 18, "But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law." Paul specifically is addressing here the fact that these Galatians were being encumbered with Judaizing teachers who were trying to bind the ideal of circumcision, trying to bind things from the old law, and he points that out. "But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law." You know, that's very important for us to understand that you can't go back and bind things out of the Old Testament or the Old Covenant on people today. And some people still have hang-ups with that. But we're being led of the Spirit of God. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." These are works of the flesh, and he very plainly says, if you do and participate in these things, these sinful things, you are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. These are not things that are being led by the Spirit, they're being led by the flesh. And again, because we're in this fleshly body and the Spirit dwells in this fleshly tabernacle, that's something we have to wrestle with. Chris also talked about in his prayer that we have a purpose here while we're here upon this earth, and our purpose is to walk uprightly and spiritual in the sight of God and in the sight of man, that we might be a light to those that we come in contact with. Now, if we're not being led by the Spirit, are we going to be able to have the influence that God wants us to have? And I want you to notice there was a conditional junction there in verse 18, "But if you be led of the Spirit." And now in verse 22, and notice it says, "But the opposite of these works of the flesh is the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." Notice verse 25, again, a conditional junction. "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." You know, Andy made a valid point the other night that really resonated in my mind. Whenever we're having problems among ourselves, we've got our eye off the ball and we've got our eye on something that is really irrelevant. We have to be careful about that as God's people. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You know, we have clear instruction that we have to walk in the Spirit. And again, it's not an easy thing to do, is it? To always be thinking about spiritual things, and whenever somebody cuts you off short on the highway, and you have this little bit of rage that comes over you because they could have caused you to wreck or caused someone to get hurt, it's not always easy to be spiritual minded at that moment, is it? Because we live in this world and there's things that are imperfect. Men are imperfect. We all have imperfections. We're subject to make mistakes. I told you the other day about the lady that I watched run a red light, and she almost got T-boned from both sides of her car. She probably had her mind somewhere on her cell phone or somewhere else, and it could have been bad for a lot of people there. And I'm sure those people that were blowing their horn at her weren't saying nice things. Because we live in this world, oftentimes we're confronted with things that really test us spiritually. They will check us spiritually. They will see how spiritually full we are, how spiritually full our tank is, if you will. Because if we're running down there at about 10% and we're not up to about 80 or 90% and something like that happens, we might say or do something that wouldn't be appropriate for a Christian, might we? So again, just kind of, I hope this will get you to thinking and maybe think about when you look at your fuel hand on your car, which most of us spend a lot of time in our vehicles anymore. Maybe we'll think about some of these ideals. And in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15 through 18, again, there's a lot of emphasis put on the fact that you need to make sure that you watch how you walk. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with what? The Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Where do we get spiritual filling? Where do we go to get that? Well, it points out here, when we come together to worship God and we sing songs and hymns and we raise up our voices together, we're edified and we're built up from that. And that's part of the place where we get spiritually filled. And we need to be reminded of that. And it's very easy when you're not in the times that we're in. It would be very easy for someone who wasn't being able to participate, maybe not even online, they're not able to participate and they're not being able to come out because of fear of the corona. It would be very easy for you to become very spiritually low on fuel, if you will. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, had my marker at the wrong place, I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. And again, this is scripture that I've used already in the talking about the Spirit, but I think it's very beneficial. It says, "But as it is written, I have not seen or ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but what? The Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." I want to stop there for a minute. There is a spirit that's mentioned here that says it's the spirit of the world. Do you know a lot of people that are being led by that spirit? I do. Because all they think about is this world. They don't think about a life hereafter. They don't think about eternity, where they're going to spend eternity. They're being led by the spirit of this world. In other places, the Bible refers to that as the prince of this world. So Satan has people that are actually being led by his spirit, if you will, or they've been directed by his influence, and they're doing his will rather than the will of God. And there's a vast difference between the spirit of God and the spirit of Satan, or the spirit of this world. And I think we need to be reminded of that, and we need to focus in on that a little bit, because it's awfully easy, because we're in this world, to be caught up in this world and not be putting on spiritual things as we ought to as God's people. I was talking to a fellow not long ago, and I say this because I don't want to be derogatory or negative towards our nation, but we all already know and understand there's a lot of things in our nation that are digressing from a moral, from an ethical, from a biblical standpoint. They're digressing. We're going backwards from where we've been. That's what digression means. And I talked to a fellow that had a friend that was in the military, and they were in another country, and I won't say where, it's left my mind, but to let you know how bad things can get, they had a checkpoint set up where people were traveling, and there was this truck that was coming through, and it was a big truck, and it had 12 porta potties on the back of that truck. 12 porta potties, and that's what they use around these when they have options so they can have a temporary restroom or construction sites or things of that nature. And they put a heat sensor gun on those porta potties, and it picked up something in those porta potties, so they stopped the truck. And they found in the bottom of those, which would be the latrine part, the nasty part, not that it had that in it, but I'm just saying so you'll understand where these ladies were at. There were 12 ladies, one in each one of those, down in the bottom of those porta potties, and they had sedated those ladies so that they couldn't make any noise or ruckus, and what they were doing is they were in the human trafficking business. They were trafficking humans. Now, we think about that as being something that's over yonder, way over yonder. We don't think about that as being something that might be happening in the U.S. of A. Well, it's happening here, and it's came here. It's up on us. And it's not uncommon to hear about people being abducted. I told you the story about the woman in Walmart, and her husband was a policeman, and she sensed that this fellow was kind of following around the store, so she called him, and he came down, and it ended up being that this van had pulled up beside of her car, and they were waiting for her to come out of the store by herself, and there was about four other people, men, in that van. They were going to slide that side door open when she was getting into her car, grab her, throw her into the van, and she would have been, in 5 minutes, nobody would have known which direction she was gone in and may have never been seen again. That happened in Walmart shopping center in Somerset, Kentucky. Now, you go back a few years and I think we had to worry about that so much. I'm not saying that there wasn't an isolated case, but it's getting to be more and more common, and that is a digression. That's the kind of things that happens in lawless places. And to think about those ladies that were being transported in those porta potties to be made slaves for somebody, more or less, that's really going backwards to me. And those things are happening on American soil now, and we have to worry about our kids getting abducted, getting to and from school. The teachers have to come out and actually stand with them and make sure that it's somebody that is approved to pick them up. Those are things that tell you that there is a vast difference in the spirit of this world and the righteousness of God. And those extremes can be all over the Richter scale, if you will, but that's scary to me to think about that. And we see all the rioting and all the stuff we've seen last year and the thing that happened over at the White House. That's stuff that you would have thought 20 years ago happened in third world countries that weren't developed yet, and it's happening on American soil. And we're becoming comfortable with those things happening and just trying to accept them. That's scary. That's because people are not being led by the Spirit of God. They're being led by the spirit of this world, as it talks about here in Galatians. And we read on, which things also we speak not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You know, when we become spiritually alive, when we become a Christian, you know, we start putting off that natural man, and we start putting on the spiritual man, the things that are of God, because, again, they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Keep going back to Chris's prayer. He mentioned to know that we live in a country to where we have the freedom of worship, and we can come out and worship God in a way that we find described in the New Testament without fear and molestation of man. Now, right now, we still have that freedom. We need to understand that that is a freedom. That's a freedom. That's a blessing. It comes with great responsibility. We need to know that. And we need to understand that there's a difference between that and places where they can't worship God. There's countries where if you tried to have assembly like we're having here this morning, you'd be put to death. And you know where they are as well as I do. They would not tolerate it. They would not put up with it. And again, they're being led by the spirit of the world rather than the spirit of God. But I like verse 16 where it says, but we have the mind of Christ. We're going to look at a verse in Isaiah in a moment where he prophesied that Christ was going to come and he was going to give us this freedom that we have under him to be led by his mind and by his spirit. And when we come up out of that water to go to baptism, we put on the mind of Christ. It's revealed in his word. No one has an excuse for not being able to access the mind of Christ. And that's a great, great blessing, folks. You can go over here at Dollar General on 70 and buy you a Bible for $3 or $4. Most anybody would be able to afford that. If not, I'm sure there'll be someone glad to get one in your hands. But that is not that way, and it's not that way in every nation and every country. And sometimes we take that for granted. We just think it's always been that way. It'll always be that way. It's not necessarily so. Look at verse 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are you able to bear it. So he's approached this once before and seen that they weren't able to bear it, and he's saying, now you're still not able. For you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envies and strifes and divisions, are you not carnal, walk as men. Again, we need to be careful as a local body of Christ. We've got our focus on the right thing, and that is the spreading of the gospel. That's what we have the responsibility to do. Growing ourselves spiritually, we need to do that, and we need to try to expose other people to the teachings that are revealed in the gospel. Whenever we do that, as Andy put it, whenever we do something other than that, we're taking our eye off the ball, and we're getting confused about things that Paul is addressing here among immature Christians. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, that's revealed in Matthew 5:6. One of the things that's lacking among Christians is that hunger and that thirst for righteousness. And I think sometimes, unfortunately, the reason that is because when you have it so good, so long, you think that there will always be righteousness. That's not the case, folks. We can see it. We can see it in the digression of our nation and the things that we see going on around us. Were things that are directly contrary to the Word of God, and people are actually trying to force you to accept that and say that it is okay, that is a contradiction of the Word of God, and it is going against righteousness, and that should concern us, that should bother us, that should stir us to take a stand for righteousness. And if we don't, who knows what it will be by the time our grandbabies and our young people reach the age that we are. But this verse that Paul gave here, I want to talk about this a little bit more, came from a reference from Isaiah 64, verses 4 through 6. And he's going to tell us, if we think our righteousness is all that, and it's not the righteousness of God, what it really is. It says, For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard. You remember, that's what we read in Corinthians there. When Christ came on the scene, it changed things. Nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, besides thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. And he's talking about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh what? Righteousness. Those that remember thee in thy ways. Behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned, and those is countenance, and we shall be saved. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. That's how God looks at our righteousness. So if our righteousness is not based upon his righteousness, how right is it? It's not right at all. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. It's very important for us to be reminded of and know that Jesus Christ, he changed things when he came to this world. And he gave us a lot of freedom, a lot of liberty. He gave us salvation that was extended through that grace, through his awful death on Calvary's cross. But that all comes with responsibility upon our part as his people. He wants us to take a stand for that which is right, for that which is right according to him, not what some man thinks. If we're going to go by what some man thinks, one person's iota is just about as good as another's. We have to understand that the righteousness that's revealed in this word is the righteousness that we have to take a stand on. Then we've got something to stand on. And it couldn't be put any plainer than to say that if we think our righteousness is all that, and that's what it's all about, is our righteousness, Isaiah said, God looks at our righteousness as filthy rags, as something that's worth nothing. We need to be reminded of that. We already looked at Galatians 5:22, but we'll hurriedly go over here to Matthew 7 and verse 16. And I like this slide because Andy kind of touched on this idea the other night. And it's very important for us to understand as Christians. And I fear that in my early Christian life that I was really, really hung up on being obedient, with not understanding that it don't matter how obedient I am as a child of God. Doesn't matter how hard I try to do what's right. Doesn't matter how much I do for the Lord. It doesn't matter how long I spend praying each and every day. If I don't understand that what I'm doing, it has to be out of love, then it does just become legalism. It just becomes something that I've been accused of being a legalist before by denominations. We have to be careful about that, and we have to be reminded of the fact the only way any of us have any hope, the only way any of us can know what righteousness is through the revealed Word of God. It can't be based upon what I think I'm doing. Matthew 7, verse 16, it says, "You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruits is hewn down and cast them into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them." When I look out into the world and I see stuff that people are doing and getting caught up in, sometimes I don't have to go out in the world. I can see it in the church. And those things are not in harmony with the Word of God. What should I think? I don't want to be nobody's judge. Why would I want to be anybody's judge? That's way above my pay grade. I don't want to be their judge. But Christ himself says you will know them by the fruits that they bear, and you will know a tree and know what's in that tree's heart when it comes to us as Christians by the things that they say, by the things that they do, by their actions, by the works that they do for the cause of Christ, for the righteousness that they uphold whenever there's a situation where righteousness has to be upheld. You will know them. They have to do that, of course, as I said, out of love. 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2, and this brings us, as we bring our lesson to a close, the ideal that you can be led by the wrong spirit. There are strong forces that lead people, and if you don't believe that, turn on the news tonight or tomorrow night and see how many people got killed, how many places got robbed, how many places where babies are being aborted and killed by the thousands. Just look at it, and look at all the troubles that are revolving around that. It says, the Spirit clearly says that in latter times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by what? By demons. Those are advocates of Satan, aren't they? Such teachings come through hypocritical lies, whose consciences have been seared with a hot iron. You mean to tell me that somebody could get to the point, even maybe a preacher that he's actually teaching and preaching things that he knows are contrary to the Word of God, and he could do that because his conscience is seared with a hot iron and the only thing he's looking at is what does it pay or what's my personal benefits from it? That's what it's saying, isn't it? So we have to search the Spirit, as it says in 1 John 4:1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And again, we have a responsibility individually as God's people to search the Scriptures, to try the spirits, because he says plainly again, believe not every spirit. So there are spirits that are intentionally misleading people. There are spirits that people are following that are false guides. But try the spirits, whether they be of God. We all need to do that, don't we, as Christians? Doesn't matter if you're in this congregation or where you're at. Doesn't matter who the preacher is or how much confidence you got in him. You better check what he's saying and make sure it's in harmony with the Word of God. Make sure it's being revealed through the Spirit of God, by his inspired writers, and by Jesus Christ himself, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. A lot of people teaching a lot of things that are contrary to the will of God, and a lot of people are eating those things hook, line, and sinker. We need to be reminded of that, I think, from time to time, that there are spirits that are not spirits of God. The plan of salvation, we must hear the gospel of Christ, and we must understand it to the point that we want to believe it and accept it. Romans 1:16 says that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to all that believe, to the Jew first and to the Gentile as well. Repent and turn to God. Acts 17:30. They were told there that there was a time when God winked at this ignorance, but it now commands all men everywhere to repent. And confession is another requirement. Acts 37. There's a need that we are willing to make that good confession that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And then whenever we do that, we'd be baptized into what? Galatians 3:26 says, as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have done what? Put on Christ, which means, again, going back to Corinthians, that we've got the mind of Christ. And as a Christian, we grow from that point forward. If we're being led by the Spirit, you won't sit on a church pew for 20 years and not be spiritually stronger than you were when you started. It's that simple. We will learn and we will become more spiritually minded and we will become more of what God would have us to be, and we will have the influence, the light in the communities where we work, live, and worship. Also, as 1 Peter 2:2 says, we need to grow in that faith, and that goes back to what I've already said. And we know that times we are subject to fall because we're in this flesh. I preach the gospel. Do I ever fall? Sure I do. I have to get forgiveness. Thanks be to God that I have that advocate, that petition that I can go to bring my petitions to that perpetuation of our sins, which is Jesus Christ. And I can get that taken care of, and I can pillow my head every night if I know I've thought, said, or done something contrary to the will of God that day. When I pillow my head, I don't have to worry. If I ever see another sunrise, I'm going to a better place than this place where I'm at. So we have to be willing to acknowledge that. And over in Acts 8:22 is the story of Simon the sorcerer. And Simon, we know, had obeyed the gospel and become a Christian there. And when he seen what the Holy Spirit could do, he desired that he might have that gift, because he was used, being a sorcerer, he was used to impressing people with the talents, the witchcraft or sorcery that he had. And he thought, man, that'd be great. And he probably was thinking, how much money could I make if I could perform the miracles that the Holy Spirit is able to perform? And whenever he tried to buy that, Peter told him, he said, your heart is not right with God, which is an indication that your heart can be right with God, and then your heart can be wrong with God. So where does that put you as far as your salvation if you don't repent of it and do something about it? And Peter told him, he said, repent of your wickedness and pray that God forgive you. We have that avenue to be forgiven. If you're here this morning and you've never obeyed the gospel, we'd like to give you the opportunity to do that. And if you have, but for some reason or other, maybe you've erred. Maybe you're just like Simon. For some reason or other, you had a thought or intent in your heart that you need to acknowledge and let us know so that we can pray for you and with you, and you can take up your rightful place among God's people. If we can help you or assist you in any way, we'd ask you to come as together we stand and as we sing.